You are on high. You are great. You are mighty. And there is none like you. We praise you. We thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to love you and to give back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Well, we're doing things a little out of order, but I wanted to send a card to Miss Frances. She's not here. Y'all, everybody signed it except Marvina. Maybe Fred signed for her. Or maybe she's waiting. But we love Frances, and we feel that she's here in spirit, if not in body. Amen. Amen. And we want to honor her on her birthday coming up this week, right? 17th. So I think that's Friday. Yeah, Friday. So that's St. Patrick's Day. So happy birthday to Miss Frances. Let's just pray for her right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for our sister, Frances. Thank you for what she is means to you in the kingdom of God, that she has served you and she has worshiped you. And now, Father, I ask you to stir her up. Just like Paul told Timothy, stir yourself up. Stir yourself up in the things of God. Lord, let her remember the times that she spoke in tongues, that she gave in tongues and interpretation, that she gave the word of the Lord. Stir her up, Lord. Cause her to remember the glorious times of fellowship she has had personally with you. Stir herself up. Make her remember, Lord. And bring her back to that joy and the rejoicing and the excitement and the thrill that we have knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Bless her, Lord. Raise her up until she is stronger than she's ever been. Father, you know I don't believe in old age making us slow down. I believe that's when we're running for the finish line. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, cause her to see the finish line and run toward it with all the joys that you provide. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, this morning the Lord is dealing with me this week about the challenges that we face living in this time in the history. And He was dealing with me that we face the challenge of being rejected. We face the challenges of health. We face the challenges of our family, our children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren have been bombarded with the ways of the world, and we're concerned about them, and we're praying about them. We're concerned about our finances to meet all our needs because of skyrocketing costs and everything. And Lord, I was praying about that because we all are facing these things every day. Every day we face those. And sometimes you get, like I was saying last Sunday, get up Monday morning, go to work, eat lunch, come home, eat dinner, watch a little television, and then we go to sleep. We do that 5 days, and some of us have to do it 6 days, and some of us don't get rest on Sunday. Right? We're doing something else. But the point is, we can get so focused on doing things, we lose the real focus, and that we should be looking unto the author of our salvation, Jesus Christ. And because we're so busy focusing on life, if we very easily get moved overboard, we're so busy with that, we forget what our real task is. It's more than one. Our tasks are. And see, most of the time we think, well, it's making a living and keeping our house and keeping our health. But really and truly, Jesus did not say, go in the world and get healthy. His command was, go in the world and preach the gospel, meaning that I am sending you, which makes me responsible to take care of your health, your finances, and your well-being. Amen? So he wants to take that responsibility. Can we start on it? I want us to read this real close here. In a great house, not to, you say, well, that's not talking to me, but it is. The great house in this earth is the church of Jesus Christ. That is the great house, the church of Jesus, because it has the head of Jesus. He's the boss, number one, right? And so his greatness makes the house great. You have a great set of parents over a house. You get a great husband and a great wife and a great father, a great dad, a great mother, and a great mom, and you see a great house. So we have a great leader over this house, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Lord of all creation, amen, and the King of all creation. So this house is great. So if the house is great, you know what makes me great? If the house is great, you know what makes you great? Well, people don't know. They don't think I am. The government don't think I'm great. They're not your judge. The one that's going to judge you died for you. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Now listen to this. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver. See, in Jesus' house, there can be gold vessels and silver vessels, right? Okay, look at the next part. Also, wood and clay. So, most people would honor the gold and silver, right? But if you had a wood plate made out of wood and eating utensils made out of wood and the king were eating with those, those would be honored vessels. Amen. See that? But people think, well, it has to be gold to honor the king. No. Well, the vessel that is ministering to the king is the honored vessels. Amen? And so many times we get so busy in life and we're busy honoring ourselves, or we're busy honoring our life instead of honoring Jesus. Because we're so weighed down and making sure where our provisions are made and our health is okay and we're safe and our family and children are safe, we forget the one who gave us all that, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we want to be not the wood or the clay vessels, because we are intended, we are made to be vessels of gold. Because we're made to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father's purpose. As we become servants, I like that. It really helped me. Peter and Apostle Paul, he said, I'm a bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that really helped me. Because the word bond, the Greek definition is the one who chose to come as a slave. He wasn't made to be a slave. He chose to serve Jesus Christ. And that's what we have done. We have chosen to serve Him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we are bond servants. We wasn't made to serve Him. We chose to serve Him. Amen? And because we chose to serve Him, that puts in the category of silver bowls and silver utensils and gold bowls. I guess I should say golden bowls. Help me out there, Miss Teacher. Okay. Listen to the next part. Ready? Therefore, if anyone, you are in the anyone, right? You are in the anyone. So if anyone cleanses himself. So that means it's our responsibility to seek the Lord for help to have our mind renewed, to help to understand the Word of God, to help us understand our place in the kingdom of God. Every one of us has a position, appointment, and a calling in the family of God. It may not be a teaching and preaching the Word, but you may be called to do something else in the kingdom. Amen? So my mom and dad, truly, I hope that I can be a servant like they can. I hope someday I will make that part of serving God like they did. They never sought the front of the church, you know, being in the center of attention. You know, some people in church, their main goal is to be the center of everybody's attention. Well, that's, you're missing it. There's one person who earned the right to be the center of the church, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The pastor is not the center of attention. The evangelist is not the center of attention. The prophet is not the center. And the apostle is not the center. It's Jesus is the center of the church. And everything should be done to him. The offerings, the praise and worship, the teaching of the word, the music and the church grounds and church building is to honor his excellence. And I believe the church in the past have missed that. They try to, so many things are more important. And they have not shown the excellence of Jesus. They have not shown the excellence of the Father. If you read about heaven, and you read about the thrones and the walls and the pavement and everything in heaven, oh, excellent. And if you read about how God told Moses to set up the sanctuary, every one of them was excellent. But sometimes the Christian tries to prove they can do things the cheapest way. I'm sorry, God never does anything cheap. Jesus shed his perfect blood for you, and there's nothing cheap about that. Amen. Isn't that right? Amen. Nothing is cheap about the life of Jesus. So God gave his best. Or I can say he gave his excellence. So we as Christians, as the children of God, should do everything excellent. It may not be the most wealthiest, but we should do the most excellent that we can in whatever status we're in, right? You know, I got to go on. I love him. He's a great example there is. He's kind, he's good, and he's excellent. He's someone you should, what's it called? Aspire. Thank you. She's preaching it with me, because she won't be up here in a minute. Not a duo. Duet. She's laughing. I got that when I first started preaching, Brother Pat, you would laugh. I got the two mix, duo, right, and duet. I got a mix. So I was always having a duet. A duo instead of a duet. Well, I can laugh by myself, right? So if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor. So that shows me God has challenged us to be a vessel of honor. Not a vessel, you'll do what I say, buddy. I'll knock a nail on your head. See, I want control, respect, instead of, I love you. Let's do this together. Yes. See that? We should not bring the world's ways into the church. The church is supposed to be showing the world how Jesus does it. Right? And so we bring that love into the church and submission. Well, this church is so great to be in because each person is submitted to one another. And we love and care about each other.
Amen.
We do. We pray for each other. And that makes it a great, great house to be in when people care about you. We don't all agree about everything because we're all different. So we all have different jobs in the kingdom. So we don't think the same. But we have realized that God calls each one of us to a different job. You know, electricians don't think like a person out there that's laying asphalt. Electricians don't. And computer programmers do not think like somebody that's pouring steel for a living. They think different. But they should be mature enough to realize that each one's job is important. Where would you be without the steel? Where would you be without a computer person? Some people say, better off. Oh, you know, when electronics come out, that's what made everything faster. Faster communication. But the positive thing about electronics is how they made the Bible available, how they made preaching available around the world. So, like my dad, he's so cute. My dad went through the Depression, and he would tell me that some of us, they didn't have the money, they'd live out of the country. Sometimes their meal was, go catch a squirrel and skin it that mama cooked the squirrel, and that was a food. Mm-hmm. Amen. So dad taught me all the things about how to be a hard worker, be diligent, be honest, be good, be morally right. But most of all, what he taught me about Jesus. I saw him serve Jesus. And see, when I was 7 years old, I got burned on 42% of my body. And the doctor told mom and dad, my life is not worth a plug nickel. That's, nowadays they wouldn't say that, right? We gotta baby your feelings. But see, because that doctor told my mom and dad that, they told the church, and they come to the church, and this is a little small corner church, but they prayed 24 hours a day for 2 days for me. And I'm here. It wasn't a big church, probably about 10 families. But whatever it took for mom and dad's child, they paid the price. See what I mean? Because they were committed to each other. And out there where I was raised, if a family is having a problem, all the families are there and helping that family. For example, like when our well went out and we had to fix our well, they were there helping us pull the pipes to get the well fixed. And when our cows would get out, or a bull would get out and be running the wall, they'd all come and help us gather them up and get them back in the fence. See, but in this big city, we are taught to be separated. And I understand why. But we can be close to our church family because we know who they are, right? We can help our church family, right? So I'm just saying we have an opportunity to be a gold vessel and serve with the love of our Jesus, serve the people who he loved. Amen. See, it's easy to quit. It's easy to be offended, right? It's easy to do. That's the easy way. But God didn't call us to the easy way. I'm talking about service. It's easy to serve him. But the part that, see, I pastored that was a long time ago. And for about 10 years, I quit pastoring. God operates the gift of discernment in me, and I see what people, I'm sorry, and I see what people are saying about me. I just know it. And I said, I can't teach those people, Lord, and that they feel that way about me. I can't do that. So I just got out of it. I said, when you give a perfect church, I'll start pastoring again. But anyways, I came to a place. He chose me to do this job, and I love him more than the failures of people. Because I realize I'm a mess, and I want to be loved too, right? And you're a mess, and you want to be loved. And when you don't think you're a mess, Jesus, help them. Because you don't realize how far you are from what God made you to be. You're made to be like Jesus, and we got a long ways to go. We must learn every day of our lives more and more to be like Jesus, right? To be a vessel of gold, almost. Let's go back to 21. I didn't finish that, okay? 20, there we go. Now, see, the Holy Spirit kept bringing out, look, sanctified means separate. Be a vessel of honor, separated from the world. We are in the world, but we're not part of the world. So we're, God's plan for our lives is to be in the world, set apart from the world, and for use of the Master, prepared for every good work. So you and I are being separated in the earth to do with Jesus a good work. And it's, I was talking to the Father, and the Father, you know how much of a failure I am. I don't speak good English. I was not good in English. Was not good in school. God just blessed me. I don't think anything. I kept making all these excuses. He said, John, I love the people of this world. That's why I sent Jesus. And I sent you to be an apostle of love and bring the love of God to my church and bring the truth to my church. That's what I assigned you to do. He said it's so neat. He said, I will help you help me. See, he said, I'm helping him by using this body to bring the gospel and bring the truth, his word, to his people. And he's going to help me do that. I'm not doing it on. If he said, John, I'm not going to help anymore, I'm resigning. Because without him, I don't have anything to offer you. Because he gave me the love, a heart of love. He gave me the deal to push forward and not be a quitter. I was in the past when I was confronted, I just walk away. But in the service of the kingdom, sometimes you got to stand. You can't walk away. Because if you do, some people are going to be hurt. The lies are going to be devastated. You got to speak the truth, whether they like it or don't like it. You got to do it, because I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing it for him. You're not coming to the church for just yourself. You come here for him because you're preparing yourself to be a good work for him and work with him to get people safe and bring the truth from heaven into this earth. See, to stay in this earth, you have to have a physical body. When you leave this body, you either heaven or the lake of fire, either one, right? But to stay here, you've got to have this physical body. That's why the Word or Jesus took upon him flesh so he could be in the earth and be the Lamb of God. because he had to take on a physical body to be a man or mankind. You know, all right? Praise God. So we are dedicated in Jesus preparing us to be useful for his every good work. Now, the key is there is master. So that means I am serving the Master Jesus as I serve him in the earth. And the reason I'm a bond servant, I had to choose to serve him. I can walk away, and you can look at the church. How many people do you know that walked away from a church because they get hurt or discouraged or whatever? They could not sit down because America have not been taught how to sit down and talk, because our roots are birthed out of renegades. Even though they were Christians, they were renegades, right? They came from all England, France, all over Europe. They came here, why? To be able to serve their Lord and Savior freely. And that spirit of freedom it's got to be yoked with love. We can say it differently, brothers and friends. The spirit of independence. How many of you believe when we're born again, we're in the family of God, right? Amen? So that independent spirit is got to be bridled with love. Well, who does that young snip whippersnapper think he is? They said the same thing about your Lord. Matter of fact, they got so mad at him, they killed him. Good thing God knew mankind wouldn't use that in his plan. Well, I'm not out of the first verse, I ain't a whole page yet. Look at this. Every work, you just, see, some people have the idea, I have, if you notice, I have talents with computers. Because that's my profession. That's what I've been training. But I've been in the computer business since 1970. The cell phone has more memory than 64 computers that I trained on. The computer I was trained on has 16K. That's 6,000 kilobits. This phone here has 16 gigabytes. Now, I had to be trained in my profession. I set myself apart from daily living to be trained in a profession. So I sanctified my life to be trained in my profession so I could do my daily work. That's what that's saying. You have to be sanctified or trained by God to be a vessel of gold in his works of the kingdom. Some people don't want to do that. Why? Let's go to the next verse. Right? I think that's one. This is what you and I are facing today. And this is what our kids and grandkids are facing. Right? Because this is talking about the last day spirit that's going on in the earth, okay? But understand this, that in the last days, amen, and last days began on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came back on the day of Pentecost, the last days were started. So we've been living in the last days for around 2,000 years, or a little bit over. Amen. Because we can't really go by our calendar of 2017, because there were years lost when they lost the calendar and a lot of things like that. Amen. But understand this, in the last days, it will come set in perilous times. So the last days are set in perilous times of great stress and trouble. How many of you have tasted stress? You thought you were going to blow up or wonder, Lord, take me home, man. You know, like that. In trouble. Oh, my goodness. Right? In trouble. It's there. We're in the last days. The Bible says this, and we can see it in live action, right? Until go up knows that it's hard to bear. If you try to do it on your own, it's going to be very hard. But if you're walking in the peace of God, you won't have that problem. It'll come, you'll look at it and cast it down. Amen? I don't receive it. People will be lovers of themselves. Anybody seen that? Yeah. Okay. Now, remember, as we read this, this is what we got to push back to be a vessel of gold. If I'm a lover of myself, I will try to make these people in the church serve me. And you won't see that from Elizabeth, because we're not of the Spirit, we're of the Spirit of God. Amen. We love you. We want to serve you. That's called bond servant. We choose to serve you. Amen. Just like you can choose to serve this church or not. Or you can be just come here like we have been. I say we got millions of people that sit home all day doing nothing and expect us to furnish our whole life. Right? Some can't. They may have some sickness or whatever. I understand all that, but some of them people can make a living. And you know what? I talked to, when I pastored a church in another town, we had a food pantry. So we had a food pantry in which give people food, and like we give them a box of food, and we used to buy food from the food bank, and food bank would send people to us. They did, didn't they? And we'd feed the families to make sure they're all right. And we did that for 3 or 5 years. Three years. And I was two families out of, I can't remember, it was like 900 families. And only two families came to church. As a all those years. So, but yet, notice that we did not stop because they didn't come to church, because God told us in that church to do that food pantry. So we're doing it because of the love of Him, not their actions. Amen? And there's one thing about that, that's a job. You better be called to do it. We were and did it for a long time. And he got hooked up with a lot of other organizations and everything, and then we began to help them too. God, He does things. But Elizabeth and I, we're always assigned to do more than what that local church can do. So we have to believe God and praise God and get the other income into other ministries that we have. See, we have two more ministries to be served besides this one. Amen? And so we do the ministry to the family of God through all the other ones. But we have to believe all the end by faith. But, hey, if you're called by God to do something, then He takes care of that. He provides. We're back to the thing of we have to be prepared to be set apart to be a vessel that God can use to do those things. Apostle Paul had to do what? He could no longer be a Pharisee and be an apostle of Jesus. So he had to count all that as the Bible says. He counted all that as King James has done. He counted as lost. Do you know what he had to go through to be a Pharisee? A rigorous learning and dedication, everything. That's why he had such hate toward the Christians. They got God's blessings by just calling on Jesus, and he had to go through this vicious, right, of learning to become accepted, and we are accepted by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, watch it. The utterly, what's another word? We don't use utterly that much. Completely self-centered. Do we see that anywhere? where people are completely self-centered. Everything's about me, right? People are self-centered. They don't think about, how are you doing? Are you doing all right? Right? Think about other people, how they feel. Are they feeling good today? Lord, today, who do you want me to pray for? You're going to have somebody that needs help. Use me to pray for them. In other words, you're choosing for God to use you to pray for somebody before you pray about yourself. Or do you, every time you get up, you pray it's about you. Lovers of money, wow. Boy, I've seen a lot of good churches brought to close the doors about money. I've seen that. And another thing, I've seen churches where the congregation get in a fight, who's in control? So the divide goes start to other churches. You know, it's good they start churches, but there's a problem. If you go to this church, they will be very protective, and they are going to be in control. You go to this somewhere that's still offended about that church and those people, because they didn't get their way, self-centered. And people, even though they carry the name of Jesus and they say they're preaching the gospel, look at the witness. Children of God not getting along.